Hello, welcome to the Lean of Plants podcast. My name is Chelsea, and if you are struggling to lose weight on a plant-based diet, then this podcast is for you. While there are thousands of books, podcasts, and resources about the benefits of a plant-based diet, the reality is that being vegan does not guarantee losing weight. If you are feeling frustrated and confused about where to start, or you know exactly what you should be doing, but you just can't seem to rustle up enough willpower to do it, then keep listening. In this podcast, you'll learn the truth about plant-based weight loss, but just as importantly, how to use proven methods of behavioral change to turn what you know into lifelong habits that lead to getting and staying lean. Can't wait to get started. Let's do this. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Lean with Plants podcast. Or if it's your first time here, then a huge welcome to you. We're going to be talking in this episode about AI, artificial intelligence. It is kind of the hot topic at the moment. But I wanted to talk to you about how I believe that this is going to influence the weight loss industry, how it's going to change things for all of us forever, and what's coming. And the reason why I wanted to talk about this, I know it's a little bit of a deviation from my usual habits and practical weight loss advice, is that AI is here. There's been a lot that's happened over the past, I'm going to say 6 months in terms of this technology, and especially over the past couple of months. And there's people that really don't know much about AI or what's kind of changed. And it's almost like we've been through this very, very quiet industrial revolution where the world has shifted irreversibly forever for everyone. And it's just going to take a little bit of time for things to, for us to all feel the effects of that, but it is coming and it is here to stay, and it is most certainly going to influence the wellness space, the fitness, nutrition, any of that kind of space. Most spaces, most spheres are going to be hugely impacted by this. So I wanted to talk about what that looks like, some predictions that I have, and then what that means for you and what kind of things I think are most important to be focusing and prioritizing as we kind of navigate this new world of technology and change moving forward. So what is AI and what isn't AI? AI stands for artificial intelligence, and it really refers to a set of computer systems or programming that can perform tasks that normally would require some kind of human intelligence. And so the thing that's really interesting about this is that there's so many fields and there's so many careers and very valued sectors at the moment that rely very, very heavily on the ability to interpret data, on problem solving, on creativity in terms of like writing things, or you know, even something like creating this podcast. There's all of these different things that typically have been only been able to be done by humans, but with AI, it is just this very, very rapidly growing field that is ever learning and has the ability with almost infinite amounts of data and information to be learning and learning and learning. And when you think about humans and our ability to learn, we are very, very constrained by our ability to get through material. It takes us time to read, it takes us time to listen. If you want to learn something, for example, as a doctor, it's going to take you 7 years of learning, whereas all of that information and all of that learning, all of that, if a patient is sick with this, if they have measles and, or not measles, if they have spots and they also have a cough, if someone is this and they also have this, then the diagnosis would be this, then I would send them for an MRI, then I would give them 30 grams of such and such and wait for the result. All of that learning can be condensed for AI, can be something that can be learnt extremely quick and with exceptional accuracy, because there is so much error for human forgetfulness, and just we just don't have the ability to remember and learn just copious amounts of information. Like, we can learn a lot, but a system like AI can learn so much quicker and has the ability to learn from much more data. So when you start to think about this, there's a lot of factors of our society that at the moment, and wellness and fitness and weight loss is a huge one, that are very, very dependent on humans. They're very, very dependent on someone writing meal plans or workout guides or even just sharing information. That the fact that you're here listening to this podcast is really just because as a human, I have taken different information. I have read Atomic Habits. I've looked up things online. I've got my own experience. I've talked to many, many people. I've been able to see trends inside of our program and online. And I've read a lot in there as well. And really all I'm doing here is consolidating the information that I have. I'm picking and choosing the things that I think are going to be relevant based on a goal. And the goal here is to say and to show you how AI is going to change the weight loss industry forever. But the thing is, this technology has the ability to do something very, very similar. Take information from various sources, consolidate that and present that in a way that is compelling and interesting based on a goal, right? And so this is wild. It is absolutely wild. And so a couple of months ago, ChatGPT launched, and this is the first, as far as I'm aware, this is the first open AI public system. So anyone could go on and to ChatGPT, type in a question into a chat box, and then the AI would basically have a conversation back and forth with you about really anything that you could possibly want to know. Give me ideas for like weight loss foods. Give me like a sample meal plan if I want to lose 5 kilos in the next 10 weeks. Not that I've been saying this kind of thing, right? But you can kind of see what's here. And so really the only limit is, what is the scope of the rules that are defined for it? And then what is the information? Like, where is the sources that are being pulled from? And then from there, you can have very, very complex diagnoses, whatever. I don't even know. That's why, imagine if it was AI actually saying this. They would not make all the mistakes that I do anyway. And so you've got all of this ability really going to be changing how we do so many things over the next few years. And the fact that it can learn so incredibly fast means that we are going to see these changes in a very, very short period of time. And I want to point out something here before, like, this episode is not to say that I think that AI is great. It's not to demonize it or anything like that. It is simply to say that this is here to stay. This is going to change everything for everyone. And I'm just curious about it. I'm interested in it. It's something that Nick and I have been talking about a lot. And I make a lot of podcast episodes. And I really wanted to talk about this. Talk about something that I want to talk about, which I get to do all the time. And I do think it's relevant. I think it's important for us to understand how things are going to be changing. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to talk a little bit about what my predictions are of how this is going to change the weight loss industry. And then I want to talk about what that is going to mean for all of us who are on a weight loss journey. And just in general, like, AI doesn't change most of the second point that I'm going to go into, about what kind of things we really, really need to be focusing on if we want to see success, and how this is going to change things for that journey and that process. So one of the first ways that AI is going to change this industry is by making complex information very easy to access for the general public. And at the moment, so much of what we believe about nutrition or like scientific literature, or what is accurate, what is not, in terms of comparing something like the keto diet with a plant-based diet, so much of our belief in whether something is right or wrong or true is because we have experts who are able to decipher it for us. We have people like Michael Greger. We have people like Neil Bonnard and all these other amazing plant-based doctors and researchers. We have almost this go-between, this mediator who can look at the data and they can actually say, well, this is what the data says. But for the general public, it's incredibly difficult to actually go into a research paper and decipher that kind of information. AI is going to change all that in an incredibly short period of time. It is going to be able to give normal people the ability to go and understand complex scientific data in a way that we never have before. It's going to be able to put that at a 5-grade English level. It's going to be able to create graphics and images and videos and all of these other kind of tools there to make that information easy and accessible to understand. So what I see that doing is it's going to kind of cut out a lot of this middleman of having to rely on gurus to understand and decipher information. So information is going to become extremely accessible to everyone. I really don't know how this is going to change things in terms of what we put our trust in, because I think for the most part we tend to put our trust in people rather than just absolute ideas. And who's to say what is an absolute idea? Who's to say? In some ways, like, we all have a bias and we're all interpreting that. But now with this, if someone makes a claim, if someone says, let's say you're looking on Instagram and your favorite influencer or a keto guru or a plant-based guru makes a claim, you're going to be able to very, very easily and quickly quantify that with real scientific evidence that you can understand. You're going to be able to contrast that with the other research out there, and you're going to be able to do it exceptionally quickly. And so it's going to change, I believe, how books are written. It's going to change how we view information. It's going to change where our sources are. And it's going to almost do what I believe is kind of what happened during or when the Gutenberg press was invented, which it made the accessibility of books just there for the general public. And so it revolutionized knowledge, because books could actually be produced really quickly and really cheaply, and then that exploded learning and normal people actually having access to printed materials, rather than that just being in the hands of the rich and powerful, or like religious leaders, so like powerful, rich and powerful essentially. And so that kind of thing, I believe, is the same kind of what is going to happen. At the moment, so much of actually deciphering intellectualism, all of this complex mathematical data and understanding relations between things and correlation versus causation, all of that is going to be very easy for anyone to understand. And if it's not easy, you can have a conversation with AI and make it easy. You can create graphics and charts and all these kind of things to actually understand it. So it's going to decentralize, or maybe not decentralize, but democratize knowledge and information. And that's going to hugely impact how we view things. And so when you think about what this means for weight loss, one of the biggest things I see at the moment is that there's just this lack of clarity about how weight loss works. Whether that is a calorie deficit, which it 100% is, you must be burning less calories, burning more calories than you eat if you want to burn those stored fat cells, understanding what kind of foods are best for this. All of that at the moment, there's so much confusion about how weight loss works and what kind of diets do. For example, the keto diet, it's so complex and it's explained in such a complex way. And I believe that is there to confuse people. It is there to make this feel difficult. And I read this thing, it was because we got scammed. I got scammed in the last year or so, and I lost a little bit of money, and it was crazy because it felt so legit. Like, I found this company online, and it was I wanted to invest in a specific type of share that was not on the market yet. And I googled it, came up with this company, and they ended up being a scam. I'm pretty sure they're a scam, because we gave the money, and then they ring kind of periodically, and then I never hear them from them, and I can't get hold of them. Anyway, it's a long story short to say that I was on a phone call with someone, and I was like, can you give me like your email address? Can you give me your phone number? Like, I haven't heard back from you. And it was just like the worst customer experience ever. And I was so annoyed. I got off the phone, and I knew it was, they were scamming me. Like, I knew that it wasn't like them back, and that all their excuses as to why they hadn't been contacting me were real. I knew that. And I just thought, well, if I could get someone's email, if I could get a phone number, maybe I can make this happen and get that money back. And so I was really polite how I was doing it. But in the end, the guy basically ended up hanging up on me, because I kept asking, and it was incredibly bad customer service. And I hung up and I said, like, Nick, I can't believe I was so irate how bad the service was. And he's like, yeah, because you're not a customer. Like, you're a victim in a scam. It's not a customer. And it kind of cracked me up, though, because I was like, I'm so much more annoyed about the customer service than I am about the money. Not really, but we, as a business owner, I would never ever treat customers like that. Like, we, I believe, have exceptional customer service, because we care about people, obviously. But the reason that I'm telling you this little sideline story is that one of the kind of hallmarks and things that you're meant to look out for when it comes to scammers is that they use very, very complex language and lingo. And you may have noticed that a lot of people in the industry do the same, that it sounds really, really complicated, and it's really difficult to actually understand what's happening. And then so I have conversations with people where it will be like, I think I can't lose weight because I'm eating carbs because of insulin. And it's like, well, yeah, like, insulin is important. Like, it's basically a transporter for your blood sugar to be taken up from your blood into your muscles and into your liver. Like, it's really important. It's kind of like the gatekeeper. Like, you need insulin. It's a good thing. The problem is that when you have insulin resistance, you need more and more and more to kind of push through. And then it's not something that's simple. But when we use like really, really complex language and we use lingo, and there's all of this misinformation, but when someone just sounds smart, it's easy to believe that they are right. It's easy to believe that they are the source of information, and it's going to change. It's really, really going to change. I don't know what that looks like, but I'm kind of excited for the dismantling of that needing to be behind having to understand the lingo and the language, and not have to have that translated by a mediator. I'm excited for that. It's also going to mean that health professionals like nutritionists, dietitians, or even doctors are going to become less trusted and valued as we move towards less human error and more AI diagnosis. And you can think whatever you want about this. It is fine. I don't mind what you think. That's totally fine. I'm not saying that that's necessarily positive or negative, but when you have the ability to diagnose a patient, to take from so much data as to what could possibly be wrong with that person, when you have the ability to look through all of this kind of scientific information and ideas in an instant, and then you've got the correct diagnosis, you've got the correct information very, very easily accessible, there is so much less room for error when that is not dependent on whether someone remembers all of the things that make up a disease or all of the things that could be wrong when you come in and you say, hey, like my stomach hurts, I've got a ton of bloating, or all of the things that could be involved when you're struggling to lose weight because you've got a thyroid issue or whatever it is. And I'm sure all of us have been, like all of us have been to doctors that don't know what's going on. We go to things and it's there, they forget to ask the right kind of questions, or there's just not enough time to deal with people, and then things fall through the cracks. That's going to become much, much, much less likely. And so these kind of jobs that have currently been, or these kind of mediators in a way between the information that we need to get at and then being able to make decisions in order to move forward, like healthcare professionals, nutritionists, dietitians, and all of these kind of wellness related industries, it's going to be much, much faster to get the information that people need, and it's going to be much less dependent on that kind of human interaction. So the trust, I believe, is going to change over time. And at the moment, for a lot of people listening, most likely you go like, well, I would never trust AI over an actual human. And I mean, my query would be, well, why? Like, I don't know. Like, let's not actually get into that. But what we know that this means is that some of the authority around these figures is going to be dissolved, because we are going to have more accurate, faster ways of actually getting the information that we need. And even people, like, I know a lot of people put, I don't know what the word would be, a lot of weight in titles like dietitian and nutritionist. I don't, and the reason for that is that they are just collaborating information in the same way that anyone is, and that just because you have a degree, just because you have read or studied something for many years, does not mean that you've come to the right conclusion. Just like there are dietitians who are keto fanatics, and just like there are doctors who are plant-based, there are nutritionists who are spouting information that is inaccurate, and there are people who are randomly sitting on their floor in a tiny office in New Zealand who have got some pretty accurate things to say about health and wellness. So it's that I see that system kind of coming down. And because we're so reliant on social proof, on social media, on authority that is gained through popularity, we tend to trust people that have notoriety in terms of books, who have titles, who have the word PhD or doctor in their name. That's going to change. A lot of that is going to look different. And so what I think this means for us moving forward and how we access this is that knowledge is going to become less important, and deciphering knowledge is going to become less important because it will be easier. Implementation is going to be so much more important. And this is already the most important piece of the weight loss journey, because really that access to right information is going, I believe, it's going to be easier. I believe that we're going to be able to get to the bottom of things. We're going to be able to understand things a whole lot quicker. And then we're going to be focused on implementation. And it's always been incredibly important, more so than ever now. And so not only is AI going to change our ability to actually access information, it's going to change this implementation piece as well, because that's going to look like AI being able to customize meal plans for people, workouts based on the data that it gets from your watch or your phone or your steps, or whether you said that you enjoyed the workout or it was too hard or it was too intense, whether you've got back pain, whether you like how tall you are. All of that kind of information can be analyzed, and then it can be basically created into some kind of program. And I actually went on to ChatGPT, which is the OpenAI software, platform, I should say. And I actually wanted to see, like, what does this say about how it's going to impact the fitness and wellness industry. And here's a few of the examples that it came up with. It said, first of all, personalized workout plans, because it's going to be able to look, and I'm going to summarize, it's going to look at like data points like composition, history, biometric data. So personalized workout plans that are going to be actually tailored to an individual. So, and I mean, I like, this makes so much sense to me as well, because if you can have like the perfect system, if you can put in all of the data points, if you can learn from all of the mistakes that are out there, and then you can actually create the safest, most effective workout that is most tailored to you because you have enough information to go on, like that makes so much sense that a human doesn't do that. Like, to me, that makes sense. You can probably see a bit of my bias here. The second one was virtual personal training, right? So that's going to be able to, like, we're going to be actually be able to have like AI personal trainers that can create individual workouts, like give actual feedback real time, change like the intensity of workouts. And that's going to be so much cheaper and more accessible to everyone, because it's not going to be dependent on a real human's time. It's just going to be dependent on like other algorithms and systems to actually have that created. When you think about the fact that your watch at the moment, it probably tracks steps, it tracks calories, it might track stress. And so what that's going to look like is that AI is going to be able to make predictions and make recommendations based on the data that it's collecting from your own body to say like, hey, like do this, modify this, like come go for a walk here, like have a break here, have a rest. It's all, we've already got some of this information here, but when it is able to access not just your data, but also learn from everything in the same way that a human would be able to make those decisions, then that is going to be very, very powerful in terms of what you are recommended to do based on your own data. Nutritional and diet recommendations, like individual like plans, like I said, like structures, frameworks, like ideas for food could probably be shipped to you just like based on like preferences and like taking into account allergies and like heights and all of these kind of things. So when you think about it, it's there's these two kind of factors. It's that knowledge and then it's that implementation. And so what I believe is that with all of these tools that are going to be here, it's going to change things dramatically for all of us. It's especially going to change things if you are in this space, if you are a health or wellness professional, if you want to be in that industry, if you are involved with people who are in that industry. All of this is going to change over the next few years. Mark my words, if it does not, then come and say, Chelsea, you were totally, totally off with this. But it is here to stay and it is going to change things. So here's what I really want to say with this episode. Implementation possibly will become easier, but I'm not actually convinced, because while access to information is incredibly important, if we don't actually put that into practice and we don't have systems around us that make that doable and make that enjoyable and easy and fun, and we don't use true behavioral tools, then we will not be successful no matter how much information we have. And I would argue that most people, especially if you're here listening to this podcast, you probably have nearly enough information, if not enough information to go on. What you really need is consistent implementation and understanding how to actually create habits. And so with that being said, for all of us, I believe the most important part of this really needs to be prioritizing, investing, spending time, and being involved in the things that are to do with implementation. And so the first one of that is habits. Understanding how habit change works. Understanding that we must make systems for ourselves in the same way that something like AI and something like software is pulling from data, making predictions, making changes, spitting out information and recommendations based on a set of goals and a set of on a pool of information. In the same way that that is happening, we can learn from that and we can go, well, that's what I'm going to do as well. I'm going to actually assess my own data. I'm going to assess, hey, this is not working right now. What I'm doing is not working. If in order to change, I have to do something different. The definition of stupidity is to do the same thing over and again and not actually change that. I'm going to make my systems easier, because we know from behavioral change that we have to make things easy, obvious, simple, and satisfying for us to actually do them. And the very fact that we're moving in this direction as a society, that this technology exists, is such an indication. It is such a testament to the fact that humans and all innovation moves towards making our lives easier. It moves towards saving us time, saving us effort, saving us brain space, saving us money, making things more entertaining, more enjoyable, more addicting, I would argue as well. And that's all of our advancements is based around that fact. So it's kind of wild when you think about it, that we think if we're going to be successful, we've got to make our lives harder than what they are now. Like, if you're going to be successful in your diet, and that you're going to now go from having to cook, let's say 3 days a week, and it's something really simple, and the other days you go and get takeout, to now, to be successful, you're going to have to go and prep for 5 hours on a Sunday, and somehow that much, much, much harder system is actually going to work. No, because you're going to fall into the patterns that are easiest. So make your systems and the habits that you're trying to create easier. And that's something that I talk about a lot in the podcast. I'm not going to go into specifics today, but it's also what we teach people inside of the program, Lean with Plants, right? And that is really how to create this toolkit of implementation, which is based on behavioral change. And so that brings me to the second point, is that while we're developing habits, I really have seen that prioritizing human connection and community is hugely, hugely important, because we become like the 5 people that we spend time with. We normalize the behaviors of the people that we see around us. And so if you're the weird vegan, if you're the only one who wants to lose weight and it's taboo to even say that, if you're the person who wants to cook potatoes and broccoli and your spouse does not understand, then that feels really isolating, it feels really difficult, and it's never going to feel normal. But if you're in that environment, if you're with those people, if you're being inspired by real humans, then that does start to feel normal. It does start to be something that you go, okay, I can do this. And there's so much in this around getting around the kind of people that you want to be like. And when you think about it, anyone who's highly successful is doing this. Anyone who is in business is getting around business people. They have got mentors, they have got masterminds, they are in the environment of the people that they want to be like. When you think about the fact that so many celebrities live in Beverly Hills and live in the LA area, why is that? Because they want to get around the people that they want to be like. They want to get around their peers. They want to get around people where the behaviors and the lifestyle and all of that is normal, because that is what humans like to do. So if you are acting counter to your culture, and when I say culture, I mean that could mean your ethnicity, I'm not saying this right, your ethnic culture, it could be your family culture, it could be your upbringing, whatever, you know what I mean. Any kind of system that you're in where you've got a set of expectations on you, if you're trying to act differently to that and you're not in a group of people who are supporting you on that change, then you're going to find that incredibly difficult. And for most of us, we're probably going to need to find that online. So prioritizing that is a huge, huge part of success. And then the third one is accountability. And when you think about something like accountability, it is incredibly human, because accountability is all about not letting someone else down. It is about not letting someone think badly of you. It is about keeping commitments to yourself and someone else. It is about having that connection and having that buy-in from another person who is invested as you in you as a human being. And there is, I don't believe, like, I think there's going to be accountability AI coaching. I think that there's 100% going to be AI coaching in many, many areas for many, many different things, and maybe it will be amazing. It's yet to be seen. But this area specifically is something that I have seen so incredibly powerful, and it's the reason that I've made the changes that we have to Lean with Plants. And so whether you've been in the world, the Lean with Plants, I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm not the center of the world. But whether you've been involved in listening to this podcast for a while, or you're here for the first time. So the program that I run, Lean with Plants, it has evolved. It's evolved and changed over the past few years as we've looked at the data, as we've seen what's working, what's not, and been able to predict things and test them and try them and tweak them and change them into something that truly does bring transformation through the power of habits. And we've added an accountability over the past 6 months, because I am so convinced that this, for most people, is the game changer. I've seen that in my own life. I've seen that with running coaches and with business coaches, and having mentorship, and the fact that any successful person on the planet, any highly successful outlier, has that team and has that community, that has that accountability, has that coach around them, and that's how incredibly important it is. So with all of this being said, what I really want to challenge you with is, first of all, don't freak out about any of these changes. Stephen Covey always talks about something. Oh, Stephen Covey, I'd like talking about him like he's my mate. Hey, Stephen Covey, he's always saying this. He is a very famous author. If you do not know him, he wrote a book called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, which is it's a classic in the personal development space. It is a hugely, hugely influential book. And one of the first habits is be proactive. And being proactive is all about taking responsibility for the things that you influence and you can control, and then letting go of the rest. Things like the weather, things like a lot of politics, things like what your, I don't know, mother-in-law does or gossips about you. Most of those things are outside of your control. They're outside of your influence. But if you let them affect you, then you will actually have them. You will have them affect you, right? You will have them become overwhelming and kind of shrink your ability to change, because you become a victim. So with all of this, first of all, take a grain of salt. Most of this is just my predictions, but please don't be freaked out by changes that are coming. Changes are always there. And as much as you possibly can, when you are thinking about how you want to move forward with your weight loss, yes, knowledge matters. Please prioritize getting the right information. And if you don't know where to start and you haven't been through my free mini course, then please get into that. I've created it so that no one has to not understand how weight loss works. Like, I want every single person on the planet to be able to understand this. It is actually pretty simple. The concepts are not that difficult. Implementation, on the other hand, is another thing. But this is the encouragement to please prioritize these things that we know and we can see are vastly important after you have that knowledge. And a recap on that is, focus on implementation through habit change. And really, if you can nail and boil down habits to a few simple sentences, it comes down to making the things that you are trying to create, the good habits that you are trying to build, as easy, as attractive and enjoyable, as satisfying, and as simple and as obvious as humanly possible, so that you slip into them like you're falling down a water slide. That once you hop on it, you cannot help but stop. If your systems feel difficult, if it takes a ton of effort, if it feels hard, then you most likely are not going to continue on long enough to actually create habits. And then having that human connection, having that community support you, find it, prioritize it, get it online wherever you can, because it is hugely, hugely powerful. And then accountability for most people is the missing piece. And it's a very, very true accountability, and actually prioritizing that is probably the hardest of all of these things, because it does actually require another human to be there. But when you do prioritize it, you will see phenomenal change. And this is where I would say most of the growth for me has come over the past few years, after learning a lot of these concepts, has actually been really, really investing and getting around people that I needed to grow. And I will continue to do that, because we are able to circumvent the mistakes that they made and learn from their success. And we are also able to have that expert advice. So that's a huge, huge part of it. And if you're interested in learning about how we do this in the program, and how we've helped hundreds of women actually start to lose weight and do that in a way that it all comes off, or you're able to maintain that, which is hugely, hugely powerful, and where habits come from, then you definitely can book in a free call with us to see if you're a good fit for the program. Anyway, I'm going to leave it there. And I hope that you found this interesting. I know it's a little bit different, and I would love to hear your thoughts. If you want to reach out to me on Instagram, or send me a DM, whatever it is, send me an email. And I'd love to know if you knew about this topic, just would love to hear your thoughts and all of that good stuff. So thanks for listening, and I will see you again next week for another episode. All right, bye.